With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. And we ask for spiritual ears to hear, Spirit-taught words. Father, cause the words that we hear this morning to build faith in our lives. Let the Word come out of my lips unchecked, unhindered. Let it flow with power and a demonstration of your power and of the Spirit. And we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 5, and I believe we want to go to verse 6. Yes, sir. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And we're going to take off from this scripture. In the body of Christ, there are some fundamental truths. You know, first is faith in Jesus Christ and not in works. Faith in Jesus Christ for your righteousness or a position in Him that's not earned. Grace gives you things that God wants to give you that you don't deserve. So thank God for His grace. Amen. Now, mercy withholds maybe some negative things that you have earned. Mercy withholds judgment that maybe you deserve. And so when we go to God, we go pulling on His grace and His mercy. But we also renew our mind with the understanding that we're in a good position with God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ is not based in what we do, but what He did. And the more you realize that, the more you're able to walk in peace and joy with God, and you're able to pull on God all of the good things that He wants you to have. So when you go to God, if you understand that you're okay because of what He did on the cross, then you could begin to deal with Him in a way that you have confidence or boldness. But if you're more conscious of where you don't measure up, if you're more conscious of your mistakes than you are of God's grace, guess what? You won't approach Him with any confidence. You won't seek Him with any boldness. You'll pray kind of wimpy instead of praying with power and authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're trying to please Him, but the reality is that He's so pleased with you that He took the burden of your sin on the cross to separate it from you and the way that He treats you. Isn't that good? He literally bore your sins in His body on the cross so you could be separated from that sin and begin to live out of a right position with Him. And so we don't want to take that and mean we can live any old way. I mean, if you know something's wrong, then stop doing it and start pulling on God. So the message of faith and grace is very important in the body of Christ. It's, we build everything that we believe and practice upon that, okay? But if we were to take you to another level, we'd begin to teach you how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not just how to discern the Word, but how to hear the voice of God within you. Because if you've been born of God, then God lives in you, and He's going to speak to you about your daily decisions, about things that are coming in your life that you don't know of yet, things that are yet to come. He'll begin to speak to you a wisdom that is not taught by somebody's mind, but it is revealed by the Spirit. And so the second area that we would really focus in is how to be led by the Spirit. And the third is how to walk in love. Everybody say love. Now, when I was a kid and I was growing up, they were giving out these buttons that said, I am loved, I am loved, I am loved. And the hippies had the, oh man, just love, you know, don't hate, and all those kind of things. And we don't understand love like we should. Because a true love disciplines, a true love corrects, a true love rebukes, but there is a love that accepts people for where they're at, yet pulls on them to come farther. Does that make sense? If I love you with the love of God, I can look at you in your mess. You could look at me in my mess and understand that God is pulling me to something greater. Amen? So when I look at you through love, I don't just look naturally, but I look at you through the power and the love of God that is in me to see what you are becoming. And not belittling you for where you're at. Because if you just look down the row or down the aisle, you'll see people that are in different places spiritually than you are. Some are just starting and some are way ahead and some are right where we're at. And love perfects, love pulls, okay? If we don't walk in love, then we separate ourselves from God in a way that He doesn't want us to. God's love for you is inseparable. But your acceptance of that love can change. Based on if you feel good about the way you've been acting, then you can receive God's love pretty freely. But if you feel bad about the way you've thought or the way that you've acted or something that you did in the past, then it's difficult to receive God's love. Am I getting through to you? When we act contrary to God's word, we separate ourselves from the love of God through our perception. Even though God's love is being poured upon us and out for us and was demonstrated through the cross, He's not withholding anything. When we don't act in line with what we feel on the inside, who is God speaking to you, then we pull back from the love of God, and therefore we can't receive from Him very well. Now, if you guys understand this, would you please say amen?
Amen.
All right. So God's love is right there. Now, the only thing that counts regarding our faith, we just read, is what we do. That's an expression. That's a communication. What we do with our faith that we do in love. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. Last Sunday's message and last Wednesday's message was on the position of love. Now understand, God does not change. He said, I'm not a man that I should change my mind or change my ways. He said, I am the Lord God, I change not. Jesus Christ is His expression to us on the earth, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God doesn't change His position towards you. But we change our position toward Him all the time. Sometimes, several times throughout one day. Just like your expressionlessness affected the way that I'm delivering, when you look at God and He doesn't change, when you feel differently, you begin to change. So if you base your idea or concept on how much God loves you based on how you feel, guess what? Your perception, the way you think about God's love to you, will go up and down, up and down, up and down. Your perception. But His love is consistent. Am I helping you? When you do something you don't know is the will of God, I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but you don't know if that's what God wants for you. What happens to your perception of His love and His acceptance? It goes down. When you know the will of God because He's spoken clearly to you or somebody has confirmed it to you by His word and you do the thing, then your perception and acceptance of God's love increases. Am I right? So that's why the only thing that counts is our faith expressed in love. And the position of love is something that God has given you that you can tap into at all times. The position of walking in love, what it does is it opens up your receiver. It increases your ability to receive from God. Now, it is easy to love a God who you have not seen. Now, if that is true, and it is, imagine how many problems you have regarding your perception of God's love to you. And it's easy to love God who you can't see. Now, it's very difficult to love your brother who you can. And the love that God has for you is made complete. I'm talking about what we preached on Monday and last Wednesday. And you can go online and listen to those free, or you can get free CDs if you weren't here. But the way that you walk in love one to another causes God's love to become complete in you. Not lacking anything. And it's not that God increases His love, it's that you can receive it. Because when you act cross, my grandma used to say, don't be cross with me. When you act cross with somebody, when you split hairs with somebody, when you're in disagreement and you argue with somebody in an ungodly way, what happens to your feelings about how God loves you? Is it affected or isn't it? Yes, it affects you. But if you're able to walk in love and even have disagreements without entering into sin, if you're able to be kind to somebody who's not kind to you, if you're able to give even though they seem like they're always taking, what is maintained? Your love, your perception of God's love towards you. Am I making this way too plain? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, this is verse 1 in Romans chapter 5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I just used a whole lot of language from today to explain that to you. We have been justified with Christ. So our channel toward God's goodness, it's open. It's clear. We're good with Him. It's through faith that we stand that way. But the way that we walk in love changes our perception of that. It doesn't change God's love toward you. It changes the way that you view God. Okay? And God designed it to do it that way. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given us. Everybody say love. Say, I love you. Now say, God loves me. I love God. Now, when you said, I love God, didn't that seem more real than anything else we just said? Come on. Say, I love God. Now say, I love you, Pastor. Now, which one seems more real? I love God. Yeah. You know why? Because His love has been shed abroad. It's been put inside of your heart by the Holy Spirit. So your spirit is testifying with His spirit that what you're saying is true. Say, I love God. Say, I love my pastor. Say, I love my governor. Say, I love my mother-in-law. Now, which one seemed least? No. Which one seemed more real? I love God. See, He will always confirm your love for Him with His love. It's now when you say, I really don't. Turn to the person right next to you and say, I really don't like you. Go ahead, do that. Say, I really don't like you. Try it. What happens? You know that's going to affect your love for God, don't you? It really does. Because God put His love in you, not only so it confirms your love for Him and His love for you, but it is supposed to strengthen the way you love somebody else. God will never call you to do something. God will never ask you to do something. God will never require anything of you that He won't give you the ability and the strength to do. It will always take faith, but that faith is based in what He's put inside of you. Are you hearing me? When it is hard to love somebody, when it is hard, you have to dig down in and grab a hold of that same confirming love. When you say, I love God, He says, yes. You have to grab a hold of that for strength and power to do something you don't feel like doing. When somebody gets snippy with you, isn't the first thing that we think of is how can I get snippy back? If somebody is short with you, isn't one of the first things that we think of is how can I put them in their place? If they make you feel small, don't you want to make them feel small? That's the world's way of thinking. But if they get short with you, they get snippy with you, or they say something hurtful, it takes the love of God, a supernatural force that is in you, to say, you know what? I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you. I didn't mean for you to feel that way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you took it that way, because that's not what I meant. I love you. And then just leave the thing. I think it takes more strength to leave the thing than it does to say the right thing. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, why is this important? Because the way that you act towards your brother and sister in Christ, as people in the church, has everything to do with how you can access your inheritance in heaven through the love of God. It does. The way that you treat people in your family has everything to do with how well and how consistently you can access the goodness of God through His love. Hello? Now here's the way it is. His love has been put in your heart. It is hard to access what is in you from God when you have disconnected from that testifying confirmation of God's love in you. See, you were made to reflect God's love. You were made to be an instrument of God's love. You know what that means? Sometimes you're going to get walked on. That's why in this scripture we talked about suffering. Because if you're going to walk in love, you're going to suffer a little bit. Your ego is going to suffer. Your flesh may suffer. You may suffer dreams. You may suffer people gossiping about you, grumbling and murmuring about you. And when you don't do something to make yourself feel better or defend yourself, it produces suffering. And suffering isn't a bad thing if you're suffering for Jesus. Suffering is a good thing because it produces character and it allows you to tap into hope that's in the love of God. Amen? All right. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to throw out a lot of scriptures this morning, but we want you to follow each and every one of them so that you can believe what I'm saying based on the scripture, not on my idea or concept. Verse 6 says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Everybody say, in Christ. All of the promises of God, healing, provision, protection, answered prayers, those promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But your ability to maintain that in Christ has some effort. It's not automatic. Now understand, His side doesn't change. Your side does. And when we're talking about inheriting the kingdom of God and seeing the kingdom of God, we're not talking about getting to heaven. We're talking about being a manifestation of God here on the earth. The goodness of God being manifested or displayed in your life. What does that mean? That when you pray, it's obvious to other people that God listens to your prayers. What does that mean? When you get attacked with sickness and disease, that it doesn't take root and it doesn't affect you like it does other people. Come on. What's a manifestation of the kingdom of God in your life? That no matter what you do, it seems to work out okay for you. It's like the Midas touch, that God's provision is there even though you don't know where it's coming from. It comes with a Holy Ghost boldness that you walk as if you're a son of the King. And you walk as if you're royalty. That you have a confidence based in something that the world doesn't. Those are all manifestations of the kingdom of God. And they come to us with consistency as we walk in love one to another. Go to verse 9, please. Praise the Lord. For in Christ the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought into fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So when you're walking in love, you're walking in Christ. You'll see that here in a minute. And when you're walking in the power of God, the anointing, which is Christ, do you know what? You don't walk like an average person in the world system. Something about you is different, and it causes people to look at you and they say, that all-surpassing power is not from Donna, it's not from Theodore, it's not from John, it must be from God. You can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't walk in love, you will never exercise that faith consistently. You can understand all the steps of faith. You can understand the power and the authority of God. You can even understand the things that you can command in prayer. But if you don't walk in love, then you won't have God backing you like He wants to. Right. Let me put it to you very simply. If you are a man or a woman of faith and power, and if you don't walk in love, then the only thing that you can access is God's grace and mercy. Which is okay. That's pretty good. But if you're going to take the bull by the horns, if you're going to start to, with the power of God, direct your life, if you're going to start doing things for the kingdom of God on purpose, then you need to learn to walk in love, and so do I. Because the more we walk in love with people around us, the more we walk in love with the authorities that are over us, the more we walk in love with our family, those who love us and those who don't, guess what? The more power will be consistently displayed in your life. Praise the Lord. Let's go to John chapter 14. Guys, this is not a light message this morning, but God's brought you here this morning so that you can change the direction of your life. Jesus said in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commands. Go down to verse 20. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We just read about this. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Go to verse 24. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. The words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father. So Jesus is saying, if you love me, you're going to do what I command. And if you love me, you'll live in me, and I will live in you, and the Father will live in you. Is that what he said? And he said, these aren't just my words, I didn't come up with them. These are the Father's words. These are the words of God. Let's go to James chapter 2. Praise the Lord. James chapter 2, I'm going to give you a minute to get there. Verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. This is a command of God. Now, who's your neighbor? The Pharisee wanted to know. And Jesus said, it's not the guy who lives across the street from you. It's not the guy who lives next door. Your neighbor is somebody that your culture detests. Your neighbor is a Samaritan. And he gave an illustration about that. So in the scripture, now on the outside, your neighbor is somebody you don't like. Is somebody that doesn't live the way you think they should. Is somebody who doesn't tap into God like you do. They're contrary. So if you're to love that person who's different than you, not part of the church now, they're outside of the church, then you're doing right. Do you guys see that? Okay. Now let's go into, praise the Lord, 1 John chapter 4. There is a blessing in this, and that's what we're going to get to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now hold on, God's love is in you, right? Remember when you said, I love God, something on the inside said, that's right, and I love you too. Now if you want to know that type of love and that brings confidence to your prayer, that gives hope to your relationship with God, then you've got to walk in love one to another. Because if you don't, you won't sense and feel God inside you testifying that you really love Him. Because He said, if you don't love other people, you don't love Me. Now, I can say I love God, but every time I act contrary to what God's will is, especially concerning other people, then something on the inside says, that's not right. Don't do that. Don't act that way. Do you understand? And I want to have this confidence with God on the inside, because that's what's so great about our relationship with Him, is there is something on the inside constantly leading you and guiding you into His love. And all of the things that God wants for you and me come through love. Grace comes because of God's love. Mercy comes because of God's love. He's given you faith because of His love. Praise the Lord. Listen, He set a pastor and a leadership team over you because of His love. To protect you and guide you and lead you. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 16 now. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. Now God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how God's love is made complete among us. So that we will have confidence on the day of judgments. And in this world, we are like Jesus. You want to have confidence that you can do the works that Jesus said you could do in John chapter 14. To do the works that He did, and even greater, than walk in love. You're not going to be like Jesus on this earth. Come on. In other words, when you pray, something happens. When you pray, God answers and the angels stand at attention. If you want that to happen, then you got to walk in love. If you don't walk in love in context, then you're not going to be like Jesus on this earth. Go to verse 20. Whoever claims to love God yet hates, and that word is literally despise, hates a brother or sister is a liar. He's not talking about your neighbor now. He's talking about your family in the church. Not your blood family, but your spiritual family. Praise the Lord. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And let me put it to you in a way that we can handle it. If you don't love your brother or sister who's sitting on the other side of the church, if you don't treat them in a kind way and put your own attitude and flesh down, then you won't be able to love God the way He wants you to. Because He wants to love you openly without hindrance. And when we don't walk in love, we gossip or we murmur or we talk about or we bring up negative things about people in the body of Christ instead of looking toward the promise that is in them and speaking that way, then guess what? There's hindrances between us and God. And that hindrance begins right here. Because our spirit isn't testifying with His spirit that He loves us. We can't hear it. Not because He changed, but we changed. Can you say amen? Boy, this seems weighty, but it's supposed to get easier, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 22. You want to know why this subject is tough? It's because this is where the rubber meets the road. People who don't go to church, but they say they have a relationship with God, they are lying in a sense of, they say, oh, I'm good. I don't need a church. I don't need a pastor. You fool. You don't want your faith to be tested. You don't want to have a litmus test on your true walk with the Lord. Because you know your walk with the Lord isn't tested when it's just you and Him. Your walk with the Lord is tested when God has some flesh on. The Bible says that, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Ghost and God's Spirit lives in you? We don't have a problem with God without flesh because He's up there. But we have a problem when God has some flesh on right here and they're sitting in front of you and behind you and standing behind the pulpit. That's when our relationship with God gets tested. But what's cool is He didn't leave you to fight that thing all on your own. He put His power and His love inside of you so you can walk in love with one another. Now, if you like what somebody's doing, is it easy to be nice to them? If somebody gives you a really nice present, one you've wanted for a while, isn't it easy to be nice to them? So it doesn't take any faith there, does it? But it takes faith when they don't give you a present, but they take something that you like. When they may say something that is absolutely not true about you. Or when they pick you apart and make sure all your family members know about it. Now that person might be a little hard to love. That's where you grow. That's where you increase. In doing something you don't feel like doing. Because if you're going to walk in a spiritual kind of love, you'll find that most of your Christian life, you're going to be doing something contrary to what you feel. And the simple Christian, please bear in mind, I don't mean anything negative here. The simple Christian who hasn't grown up spiritually says this. If I don't feel it and I do it, then I'm a hypocrite. No, if you don't feel it and you don't do it, you're a fool. Well, I just got to be me. I just have to be real. No, you're going to stay in the state you're in for the rest of your life if you believe that. Because discipline allows you to do something you don't feel like doing. And the strength to do it over and over and over again comes from the love of God that's in you. Jesus went to His disciples and they said, how many times should I forgive my brother? And they went to the law. Should I forgive my brother if he sins 7 times against me? He said, no, 7 times 70 in one day. 7 times, 490 times in one day. You realize that's like 20 some times an hour? And you're still to walk in love? Well, I can't do that naturally. I can't do that, can you? I mean, about the third time, I'm about ready to kick some teeth in. But I'm not. I've learned that if I keep drawing on the love of God within me, that I can. Praise the Lord. And what's the benefit of me doing it when I don't feel like it and drawing on the love of God? I have no hindrance between my prayers. I have nothing blocking my relationship with God on my side. So when I am in need, or when I do need to declare something or do something that is supernatural, I know it will come to pass because I have not taken myself out of position. The position of receiving God's love. Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Somebody might say, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? How do I know that I am doing right? Jesus said, love the Lord your God, verse 37, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So if you say, should I let this brother do that? Should I take this brother to court? You don't have to have those questions when you're walking in love. Because all of these are fulfilled, all of the law, all of the prophets are fulfilled when you walk in love. When you give when you don't feel like giving. When you do when you don't feel like doing. When you expose yourself and make yourself vulnerable one more time to that same person. You know, they say if a dog bites you once, shame on him. If he bites you twice, shame on you. Well, the way that Christians are supposed to do it is we're supposed to make ourselves vulnerable to the bite and trust in God that He is going to heal us, that He is going to defend us, that He is going to take up for us. Is this a popular message? No. But it is where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. Can you say amen? All right. So let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Now we're to where we want to be. Why should you walk in love? Why should you maintain your position with God? Because if you are in the position of love, which means loving people around you, then you will be able to access the policy of love. Just like there is insurance programs out there that if a storm comes and it blows out all of the windows of my house, then my insurance should pay to put those windows back in, right? And if somebody hits my car when it's in the parking lot and they take out the right fender on the driver's side, that'd be the left fender on the driver's side, depending which way you're facing, that my insurance company will take care of the damages for me. Well, see, in Christ, there's an insurance policy. And it's better than just what you have taken. In the old covenant, if the thief was discovered stealing from you, he had to pay back seven times. But in Christ Jesus, there's a divine protection in the policy that covers you. Can you say cover? If you have an umbrella and it starts raining, will it cover you because you possess it and own it? No. If you are hanging on to it and just with a strap and hanging it down here and it's not open, it won't cover you and you're going to get wet. See, God has this policy that covers you, but you have to make sure that it's expanded and open. You have to make sure that you push the button, whether it goes pop or you slide it up and clicks, that it's open, and then you put it over your head. And guys, God's policy of love will cover you so you won't get wet when it rains if you walk in love. You open it by faith, but you keep it over your head by walking in love. That's why faith that's not expressed in love, your umbrella may be open, but it's not going to keep you from getting wet. In other words, I could have faith that God wants to protect me. I could have faith that God wants to provide for me. I could have faith that His angels are supposed to watch out for me. But if I'm not walking in love, I'm not holding my hand up. Holding my hand up takes an effort. Holding my hand up takes a decision that's made in advance before the rain comes. Come on. If I make a decision I'm not going to walk in love with that person because they've been gnarly with me three times in the last week, then guess what? I left my umbrella at home. I'm not even carrying it. If I make a decision because somebody's been gnarly with me just there on the fly in the moment, I have my umbrella with me, but if it starts raining and I say, I'm not going to let you treat me that way anymore, then guess what? I take my umbrella down. The rain is going to come. The hail is going to come. Attacks from Satan are going to come. No matter how righteous you are and how much you walk in love, Satan hates you because you're a son and a daughter of God, and he comes to destroy you. That is his job. Sickness and disease will try to attach itself to your body. Weakness will try to attach itself to you. Poverty will try to become your friend. It'll try to educate you. Now, this stuff is going to come because you live in a fallen world. But if you walk, if you have the faith of God and you walk in love, then you'll keep this umbrella up over you and you'll be protected from those attacks. And I'm going to prove it to you in these two scriptures. 1 John chapter 5. This whole book of John is about walking in love. 1 John, verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. And the one who is born of God, the one who was born of God, keeps them safe. Did you read that? This whole book of 1 John is talking about walking in love. So to say this sin here that he's talking about, because he's talking to verse 17, all wrongdoing is sin, and there's a sin that doesn't lead to death. But you stop walking in love, you're going to be in trouble. And if you don't sin in that area, the one who is born of God, that's Jesus Christ, will keep you safe. And the evil one cannot harm them. Does that say that in your Bible? What does it say in the King James, somebody? Huh? Can't touch them. Can't touch them. That was a song. Can't touch this. If you're walking in love, he can't touch you. If you're walking in love, Satan can't touch you. If you're walking in love, Satan can't touch you. You don't get it. If you're walking in love, man, you got the bubble of God all around you and your umbrella's up. It doesn't matter how hard it rains, you ain't getting wet. If you're walking in love, listen, sickness and disease can't take you. If you're walking in love, poverty can't get in your checkbook. If you're walking in love, fear won't be a part of your life. All right, let's go to Psalms 91. Praise the Lord. So there is a selfish reason to walk in love. How does it benefit me? Well, Satan can't touch you. You know, that is the issue of why we don't walk in love, because we're all looking at me. And when you look at me, your world gets real small, real quick. You start looking at the needs of others, and guess what? Your world starts expanding. You start looking about how you can bless other people, your world gets bigger. But boy, when you start looking at yourself, your world will get really, really small. Really, really small. And you'll find the people that have the hardest struggle in this life, mentally, physically, come on, spiritually, are those who look at themselves. And love makes the decision to look at others. It prefers other people over themselves. That's what love does. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. God did that. He gave Himself for you and for me. He died on the cross for you and for me. While you were, before you were nice and kind to Him, before you even humbled yourself and prayed to receive Jesus, before you realized you were a mess, He did something in advance. He forgave you before, He forgave you before you did anything wrong. God made the decision before the foundation of the world that Jesus would be what? The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So before you did anything wrong, He made provision that He could love you. That's why it's called to forgive, to forlove. And you make the decision to walk in love. Sometimes it's right there and then. But if you don't make the decision in advance, you won't have much power to do it. If you make the decision, I don't care what they say, I'm going to treat them the same. I don't care what they do, I'm going to treat them the same. I'm going to walk in love all the time. Now, what's the opposite of that? If she says this one more time, I'm going to say that. We practice hate. We do. If you want to be good in football, you go to football practice. If you want to be good at fencing, you find an instructor and you practice fencing. If you want to be good at your trade, then you get extra training and you practice. If you want to be good walking in love, you got to practice on purpose. You'll find out your feelings will eventually begin to change. Praise the Lord. And you all know what I'm talking about, because we practice being mad at people. We practice the conversation that we're going to have with them. We practice, if so-and-so asks me about that person, then I'm going to let them in on this and that and the other. We practice it. That's why we're good at being mean. Right. We could be good at loving people. You make a decision in advance to forgive, to forlove. Praise the Lord. I want you to see this. This is before Jesus went to the cross. Did Jesus say if you obeyed Him, you would live in Him? If you obeyed His commands, He would live in you and you would live in Him? Didn't He just say that? We read that. If you obey the commands of Jesus, that He would live in you and you would live in Him? Did He say that? Yes. And what did He say that His commands were? Love God and love your neighbor. That's the royal law we find in the Scripture. Love doesn't talk bad about somebody. Hey, if the best thing you can find is, you know, that they have... Boy, your bald head sure is shiny. How do you do that? If that's the best thing you can say, say something good. Now, I can't look at anybody because, praise the Lord. Is that a new pair of shoes? Wow. Boy, I drove by your house the other day. It looked so nice. You know, that takes practice to say something nice. So you gotta, how do you practice it? You think something nice. You know, wow, it looks like you've lost 10 pounds this week. Come on. Praise the Lord, that suit fits you really well. Man, you did an excellent job on this. I can't believe, wow, how'd you know how to do that? I'm complimenting for a reason. I was not raised in a home that did that. Matter of fact, we didn't even know how to take a compliment in my house. If somebody said something good, you go, well, yeah, but, you know, and I got that at sale on such and such. Oh, you know, I really didn't spend that much money on it. And we downplay it. That means I didn't know how to take a compliment for myself. I didn't know how to love myself. I had to learn that. I'm still learning that. So you find something good to say and you practice. And when we do that, then we live in Jesus unhindered. And He lives in us unhindered. Now what's the benefit? This here is your policy. Right here, Psalms 91. You should have a dog ear in your Bible on this page. In other words, you should bend that over and always come back to this. Okay? Psalms 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever lives in God now, I will say of the Lord, He is my fortress. He is my refuge. My God in whom I trust. When I am walking in love, I am living in this shadow. I am living in this position and place. And this policy describes what I can have because of that. The first thing is I have confidence in God. I'm protected in Him. When I'm in that fortress, I don't have to worry about, I don't have to have a wall of faith up because I'm in Him. Come on, He's my strength and He's my tower and I trust in Him. In other words, I can enter into rest when I'm in Him. I don't have to fight the fight of faith for healing when I am in Him and there's nothing hindering. I just let that healing power of God work in me. Come on. I don't worry about my finances when I'm in Him because I hear Him clearly and I do what He tells me to do. I don't hold anything back from Him in that place. I trust Him. Verse 3. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare. That'd be a trap. And from deadly pestilence. That's sickness and disease. Surely He will save you from the traps people put before you. And surely He'll keep you from being diseased. He will cover you with His feathers and under His wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness, not your faith, His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Now, because you're living in Him and walking in love, you will not fear the terror of the night. No boogeyman's going to get you. Nobody's going to break into your house and wrap you up with duct tape and kill you. Listen, He's your security. He's on guard. His glory goes, is your rear guard. His favor goes before you. You got angels on the right and on the left. And when you're walking in love, you have confidence in that. You know what that means? You can sleep at night in peace. Praise the Lord. So you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Somebody trying to kill somebody else in a drive-by. It's not going to happen to you because you walk in love and you live in God. Nor the plagues that destroy at midday. You're not going to get the bird flu, influenza B, influenza C, D, X, Y, P that takes every... No antibiotics for you because it's not going to affect you. Listen, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right, but it won't come near you. You will only observe the punishment of the wicked with your eyes. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Lord your most high, your dwelling. Everybody say dwelling. Well, I know God lives in me, and I know He lives in me. But how do I make Him my dwelling? I walk in love. Because God is what? So when I'm walking in love, who am I walking in? I'm walking in God. He's my dwelling. So I don't have to use the force of faith for these things. I rest in these things. For He will, here's what He'll do. He will command His angels concerning you. I'm so used to He commands His angels concerning me. That they will lift me up with their hands, and I will not strike my foot against a stone. I will tread on the lion. You do that for yourself. Say, I will tread on the lion and the cobra. I will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, the Lord says, I will rescue him. How do we love God? How do we love God? John chapter 14 says that we obey His commands. If we love Him, we do what He says. If we love Him, we love our neighbor. If we love Him, we love our brother. It doesn't mean you look at Him and you got the ooey gooeys. It means you make the decision to do what's right and you give. You make the decision in advance to forgive. You make the decision that you're going to give and you're going to give and you're going to give and you're going to give. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Him. I will protect Him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and I will honor Him. And with long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Do you guys see how these promises and this policy, that we access it by walking in love one to another? Now look at your own life. Just take inventory of your life. Because what other people experience, they let God do that judging. But about you, when you've had the most agony in your life, you probably weren't walking in love with somebody. When you've had the hardest time with health and healing and strength and pain, those kind of things. When you've had the hardest time, you look back, in that time, you were angry with somebody. When you have the biggest problem in your finances, and you look back in that time, you were not walking in love with somebody here on this earth who had flesh on. Right. Guys, now, point to somebody and say, he's talking to you. It helps. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I know the times that I have struggled, the times that it seems like the heavens are brass and I'm not getting through to God. I have a problem with somebody here on the earth that I want to handle myself. I hold on to that feeling to protect me. And all I'm doing is poisoning myself, taking myself out of position. Trying to access a covenant that is confirmed with love. Trying to tap into a power that is drawn upon by love. So yes, we need to teach faith. Yes, we need to teach people how to be led by the Spirit. Boy, if you learn how to love, you're going to walk in victory. If you learn how to love people when they've done you wrong over and over again, you know what? God doesn't want to leave you in that position where you're in pain. He wants to take the pain from you. He can't take anything from you you won't give Him. He can't take anything from you you won't give Him. That's why He's your judge. That's why He's your... Well, you don't know what He did to me. No, but God does. You don't know what you're asking me to get into. No, but God does. You don't know how many times I've tried. Yes, has it been 7 times 70 in 24 hours? Come on. This isn't something I don't struggle with. But if you want the power of God to be evident in your life, we need to walk in love. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. The entire book of John is talking about walking in love. And if you can maintain this area in your life, and you're not going to be perfect at it, but you can get better and better. Guys, you're not always going to feel like it. You have to develop character. Verse 18 says, we know that anyone who is born of God does not continue in this type of sin. The one who is born of God, that's Jesus, keeps him safe. And the evil one cannot harm you.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.